enjoyed being in this section this morning because nobody's getting any older. And this is a great place to be, right in here, Brother Ross. We don't, even though we're getting older, we don't like to admit it at times, but nevertheless, it catches up with us. I look at the young people today, you know, as we see them going around and think back when many of us were at that age and enjoying the things that they enjoy. But as Solomon said, sooner or later, it comes, it catches up with us. I want to finish this morning what I started last Sunday in the book of Ecclesiastes. Have your Bibles, turn with me please there. And while you're turning there, just to remind our heart briefly, maybe there are some of you here that weren't here last week, and I don't want to spend too much time reviewing because time flies. We looked at the question of why in the world am I here? I hope that you thought about that this week and asked yourself the question, why in the world are we here? What is the purpose of being here? When we look around us and we see so many things happening in life and the lives of people, last week we suggested the frustrations and the anger that we see pent up in people's lives as they search the world over for an answer, what's going on. And that was reinforced even more so this past week as I looked at the news and saw some of the horrible things that have been happening, the random murders and things taking place in the United States. And it just goes to show us that man is searching for something to satisfy that longing in their lives, that emptiness, that vacancy that exists there. And they seek all means. And lots of times it results in things such as murders and distress in men's hearts and lives of what's taking place in our world. And the problem is that they're looking for it in all of the wrong places. They're looking for it in all of the wrong places. They're trying to find out, why am I here? And we keep going in all directions trying to find the answer. Many never find the answer. But thank God for those who do. And the answer is found in Jesus Christ. That's the answer. There is no other answer because there's nothing else. And this is what we've been looking at as we've been studying together in Ecclesiastes. We look, as we read this, at the life of a great man. The man that the Bible says was the wisest man that ever lived, the richest man that ever lived. He had everything that he wanted. And the things that he wrote of in Ecclesiastes several thousands of years ago are exactly the same things that are happening in our world today, but on a greater scale because of the population of the world has increased. Knowledge has increased. And we see all of these things happening. But what is important is that as we see them happening and as we get involved in it, and we're speaking particularly to believers this morning, is that we as believers do not allow them to become the masters of our lives. This is important. Far above all else, that we do not allow these things that we've been discussing to become the masters of our lives, to control our lives, to dictate to us what we do and where we go and how we live our lives, and draw us away from the most important thing of all, and that is our relationship with Jesus Christ. Our relationship with Jesus Christ, and I'll say this today, should be far above everything else in a believer's life. That relationship that we have, that knowing him as our Savior, but we can talk with him, we can share with him, we can trust him, we can believe him, have faith that he is there and that he's going to see us through all of the difficulties and problems of life. Let's just look to the Lord in the word of prayer before we read this morning. Father, thank you for your word today. We pray that you may challenge our hearts afresh this morning, Father, as we allow you to speak to us from your word. Lord, as we look at the writings of this great man of God, and as we consider the days in which we live, may our hearts today, Lord, be challenged afresh to live the life that you would have us live, and to know that you are God, and beside you there is none other. Bless your word to our hearts this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Last week we looked at two subjects, and those were education and pleasure. Education and pleasure, two of the things that Solomon was very wise, wisdom. He had seen it all. He knew it all. People would come from near and far to have him expound to them the things of life and what was happening around them. He enjoyed the pleasures of life, as we saw. He could do anything. This morning I want us to look at another one that perhaps is dear to all of our hearts. And it's probably an area where undoubtedly many of us become so involved that we lose out on that joy of the Lord in our lives. Now we might say, I'm a Christian, I can't lose the joy of the Lord in my life. You can. You can lose the joy of the Lord in your life. David is a good example of that. David had sinned, and he came back to God, and one of his prayers was restore unto me, O Lord, the joy of my salvation. You can't lose your salvation. And we're saved forever. God has forgiven us of our sin. But we can lose the joy of our salvation. And as believers, God wants us to be happy. He wants us to be a happy people. He wants us to enjoy everything that He's given to us. And I trust that we do. And I don't want you to leave here today with the impression that I'm saying God doesn't want us to have education. He doesn't want us to enjoy the pleasures of life. He doesn't want us to have companionship. He doesn't want us to have possessions. He does. He wants us to have all of these things. But there are limitations to these things. And we have, as His children, to control them and not allow them to control our lives. We're going to look at possessions today. In the second chapter of Ecclesiastes, in verse 17 and 18, here's what he says. He says, I hated life because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me. For all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who came after me. Because I must leave it to the man who came after me. I believe what Solomon was doing here, as he looked back on his life, he wasn't a young man anymore, as we heard last week. He had now lived the majority of his life. He had drifted away from God. The Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 3, I think it is, that Solomon loved the Lord. But then when we get in 1 Kings chapter 7, it says that God was displeased with Solomon because of the things that he had allowed to master his life. And we looked at those last week. This week, we look at these possessions. Solomon looked back on his life. And Solomon realized as he looked back, that he had emphasized his own achievements too much. He had allowed the achievements of his life, the things that he had gained, the things that he possessed. He had devoted so much of his life and his time upon these things that it had separated him from God. It had taken him away from God. And now he was beginning to become concerned about leaving it behind. It happens to all of us sooner or later. As we go through life, we become concerned we're going to die. Who's going to get it? Who am I going to leave it to? What's going to happen with it? And it's natural. It's only natural as we go through life that we think of these things. He says, I had worked so hard under the sun. Now I must leave it. And who's going to take it? Who's going to have it? You know, I've seen this happen, and I know that you have too, so many times in life. I've known men, personally, that have worked 7 days a week. 7 days a week. Very seldom ever went to the house of God. Had no time for the things of God. Built up great possessions in life. And then, in a moment, God called them all. Perhaps you've known this. And what happened to his possessions? Slowly but surely, they've been destroyed. They've been done away with. Others have come in and taken them. And all of the labor, all that he had done, he left it behind. That is impressive to me. It impresses my heart that we should not devote our entire lives on the things that we can possess because we're going to leave it. We're going to leave it. It's going to happen. I've said, and perhaps I've said it here before, but I've said in my ministry elsewhere, I've never yet been to a funeral service and seen a hearse. A U-Haul, standing there by the graveside, loaded with fish. Never. It's just not going to happen. We're going to leave it all behind. And so we have to be mindful of this as we go through life, of the things that God gives to us, the possessions that he blesses us with. And I was reminded even this morning as I was sitting down again in the early hours of this morning going through this passage of scripture, the thought came to my mind about the man that God blessed in the New Testament abundantly. He gave him all that he wanted. And when he arrived at that point in his life, he said to himself, I'm going to tear down my bonds and I'm going to build greater and I'm going to throw up my feet and say, eat, take your rest, be merry. And God said, you're a fool. You're a fool. Tonight shall thy soul be required of thee, and who shall those things be? And so, beloved, this morning, as we seek to regain possessions in our lives, we need to keep this in mind. We need to keep the story of Solomon in mind and all that he had gained. And when we look at what Solomon had, the things that he had achieved in life, he was incredibly rich, the Bible tells us. He had vast property holdings. His domain went from the Euphrates River to the land of Egypt. Vast, vast borders. He had gained international reputations as a great man, a teacher, author, scholar. And I think the thing that caught my eye the most as I was studying through this, he built a magnificent temple for the Lord. It took him 7 years to build this temple. He built a palace for himself, which was a masterpiece. And guess how long it took him to build it? 13 years. He built God's temple 7 years. He built his personal palace 13 years in building. What does that say to you and I? He was more concerned about his personal possessions than he was about the things of God. And that's the point I want today to get across to all of our hearts. Let's not put so much of our lives and so much of our time and so much of our talents into the personal possessions of life that we can't keep. We can't hold on to. They're going to go. Somebody's going to get them. Somebody's going to use them. Somebody's going to benefit from it. But we personally will one day leave it behind. And the important thing is that only what's done for Christ will last. Now, if we could only, and we're all human. We're all human, and I'm no different from any of you. We're all human. If we could only allow that to sink in deep into our thoughts and realize that I can only go so far. I should only allow this to get to a certain point, not to master my life. To realize I'm going to leave it someday, but what I've done for Christ is ahead, and that's what's important. Oh, if we could only live our lives that way, recognizing this. When Solomon reflected on his own work and the work of the others, here's what he said in the 22nd and 23rd verses of this same chapter. And it's so true, and it struck me very deeply as I read through it. He says, what has man for all his labor and for the striving of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun? For all his days are sorrowful and his work burdensome. And this is the part that really caught my eye. And even in the night, his heart takes no rest. I'll guarantee you that there are those of us here today, if we don't do it now, at some time or the other in our lives, we've been awakened in the middle of the night. And we can't get back to sleep because of the simple fact of what we're thinking about we're going to do tomorrow. What's going to happen tomorrow? Where am I going to go? How am I going to do this? Where is this coming from? It happens. I know it does because it's happened to me. It's happened to me. And we're all human. And when we become involved in these things and we allow it to dictate to our lives, it happens. We're concerned. We can't sleep. I'll tell you a short story for the sake of time. When I was a young man, and I like to consider myself still young at heart, although I'm not a young man anymore, but we had two young kids, and I just moved into a new job, unfamiliar territory, but God was with me, and he helped me move up the ladder, and I moved up into a position in the business. This was in Treasure Key. And we had a multi-million dollar thing going there, building everything, many years ago. And the position that I held was very difficult. And my wife can attest to this. It had gotten to the point where I had to attend so many board meetings and answer so many questions about things that were going wrong in that place. And I enjoyed the position that I held. I was getting a good salary. I didn't want to turn it loose. But there came a time in my life when I couldn't sleep. I'd wake up in the middle of the night and it would be just like a hammer, a jackhammer, knocking me in the head. Bang, 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 bang. Couldn't sleep. And I came to the point where she and I said, you know, we prayed to God. God, I need to get out of this. This is ruining my life. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going to go, but I can't live my life like this, with this dictating to me. And beloved, God worked. I left that job. He opened another job. I went into it. They provided for me free housing, free electricity, a free vehicle, a more salary, and everything. You see, we just have to get to that point in our lives where we realize, yeah, this is it. I can't let it destroy my life. I can't let it get the better of me. It doesn't matter. And I left that job. And I was gone away from that job for 1 year. And you know what? God brought me right back to that job again. But only that time, I was in a higher position where I can then look down and have control over others. And the pressure wasn't there. You see, we just have to get to those points in our lives where we realize it's destroying my life. It's taking me away from the things that are important, from my family. Very seldom I was at home. I was gone in Florida most of the time because our corporate offices were in Florida. I just didn't have the time. My wife and my kids. But I thank God that I came to that point and I realized that we need to. And I'm not saying that I'm any different from any of you this morning. We need to come to those points in our life, realize that the things that we're looking after, the things that we're working so hard for, the things that I can't get to sleep at nights worrying and caring and concerned about, are they that important that they're taking me away from the things that are important in my life, particularly my relationship with Jesus Christ? My relationship with Jesus Christ. Solomon could look back now over this and see, he says, all is vanity. All is vanity. These are the vain things of life. Many individuals spend all their energies climbing the ladder of success. But Solomon pointed out here in his passage of scripture that the man who rises to the top doesn't stay there forever either. He comes down. He comes down. And he's forgotten when someone else takes his place. So then, what is the worth of work? What is the worth of what we do? We have to look at it this way. God's view of work and the true purpose of life is found in the 24th and 25th verses of this same chapter. He says, "Nothing is better for a man that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor." You see, it's nothing wrong with it. It is nothing wrong with it. He says, "This also I saw was from the end of God." Then, as we read this and study the 25th verse, we see a substantial evidence to suggest that verse 25 should read, "For who can eat or who can have enjoyment without Him?" Without Him. We need to make Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the most important part of our lives. If we're going to find the purpose of our lives, find the fulfillment of life, we need to find God. We need to have God first and foremost in our hearts and lives. The Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." And what did He say? All these things shall be added unto you. We go about it the wrong way sometimes. We seek first the things of life and then we look for God. Sometimes we seek God first and then we allow the things of life to get between us and God. This is what happened here in the life of this man. So we have to learn that the things of life, though important they may be, the possessions that we hold, they're not ours. They're not ours. I think of this so often. You people in Spanish Wells have had examples of this. You had it in the hurricanes, in Hurricane Andrew, and in the past year, the other hurricanes. We had it in Abaco. You have these beautiful homes, beautiful yards, boats, cars, whatever it may be. And then in a moment, they're gone. I think my wife and I learned a lesson at home in Marsh Harbor. We had what we thought was a beautiful yard. We spent lots of time in it. And within 2 hours, it was completely destroyed. Gone. We couldn't hold it. We couldn't stop it. And that's the way it is with so many things in our lives. And that's why it's important. And I stress that today. And perhaps I don't have to stress it. You understand it already. It's important that we don't let these things come between us and God, which is the most important thing of all. That personal relationship that we have, that joy in serving the Lord. And beloved, it is a joy in serving the Lord. A joy in knowing Him as our Savior. A joy in knowing that we have someone on our side who holds the whole world in His hand, who owns everything. And you know what He says? "Will supply our every need according to His riches and glory." And thank God He didn't say He'd supply our every want. Because if He supplied our every want, I don't think either one of us would be here this morning. But He supplies the needs of our lives. We can't go wrong. And I'm sure that there are many stories that you can tell me this morning. And I can stand and tell you story after story after story that I've experienced, my wife and I, in our Christian life over the many years that we've walked with the Lord, how that God has met those needs in our lives. Since I've been in the ministry in the last 5 years, in full-time ministry, gave up my job, sold my business, went out. Never yet have I seen a time when I didn't have what I needed in my life. Not because of things around me, but because of God. Because of God. That's what I attribute it to. God, as He works, His wonders to perform. You just have to learn to trust Him and build on that relationship. The other thing we want to look at, as time flies by, is our companionship. In Ecclesiastes 9:9, Solomon wrote these words. And he's talking more so here about the relationships with our wives and our families. But I think oftentimes when we think about relationships, we as believers become involved many times in relationships that are detrimental to us. And we allow those relationships to grow to points where they distract us from the things of God, where they defeat the purposes of our lives. They keep us away from serving the Lord. They keep us away from getting involved and doing something for the Lord. But in this verse of Scripture, Solomon is referring basically to his wives. He said, live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he had given thee under the sun. All the days of thy vanity. For that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Now Solomon was promoting marriage here. He knew that the meaning of life really was not wrapped up in a human relationship. I mean, let's face it, the man had 800 wives. 800 wives, relationship after relationship. But Solomon knew deep within his heart that he could never replace or fill his palace really with enough wives to replace his needs for God. He couldn't put enough women in that palace to fill his need for God. Now that's not saying that we don't need relationships, that we shouldn't get married or have wives or husbands. We need friends. We need companionship. People who have companionship seems to be more productive. They're there to help in troubled times. They help us to go through the rough times in life, and so on and so on. But we need to recognize that above all of this, we should put God first. God should be first. Even though Solomon extolled the virtues of loving and helping others, we read this in the 11th chapter of Ecclesiastes in verse 2, he did so with the realization that showing love for others as well doesn't find the real purpose of life. Showing love for others, it's good to love others. It's good to share our love with others. And that's what I like about coming to Spanish Wales. I must say, and I sincerely mean it, not because I'm standing here before you, but I find people that show love. Everywhere I go, I find that love. People, they're loving, they're concerned. And this is great, and this is what God wants. And that's the way that we as Christians ought to live. To show our love. To share our love. Because then we're exemplifying God's love through us. He says we love him because he first loved us. And we share his love. We share his love. Many people don't recognize God's role in life. But he's there. He's always there. And he loves us. And we have to remember that Jesus encouraged love for each other. Love for our neighbors, the Bible tells us. In John 13:34, John 15:9, verse 12. And that's evidence of our devotion to God. The more that we love others, the more people can see God's love in us. As we love, we demonstrate what God is all about. The Bible says that God is love. God is love. And Jesus talked about love many times. In Luke 10:27, he said, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So there is that love that we must have as well. And we must be willing to share it. Our love must have significance. Our love must be shown around the world wherever we go. And again, I commend you that you are people that I find be people of love. And keep it up. This is what God is all about. This is what God wants us to do. Even though Solomon encouraged the people of his day to find enjoyment in human relationships, he pointed to the need of our relationship with God. As we read through this, we find that without a knowledge of God, we would have to conclude that human life is no better than animal life. If we didn't have that knowledge of God. If we didn't know about God, what God stands for, what God is all about. Loving others, and this is a thought this morning that I want to leave with you. Loving others, as good as it is, falls short of giving the foundation on which we're to build our lives. We're to build our lives on loving God. On loving God. That is so important. And so, how do we find as we come to the conclusion of this, as we've looked at education, as we've looked at pleasure, as we looked at possessions, as we looked at relationships, how do we find that purpose for life? Solomon learned the hard way. Many of us learn the hard way. You can't live your life as if there is no God. You can't live your life. And boy, don't we see this happening today in our world in which we live. So many people are living their lives as if there is no God. All the education that I have, I attained it for myself. I did it. I went to high school. I went to college. I did this. You know, we live in a world today where there are three people in one in most of our lives. Me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. I did this. I'm going to go here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the other thing. These possessions are mine. These are mine. These companions are mine. Beloved, we need God somewhere in this. God's got to be somewhere in this. Solomon learned that. He couldn't live his life. And I think in the 12th chapter, and the last two verses of that chapter, he comes to the conclusion that I think all of us need to come to. We need to come to this conclusion in life. And look at what he says. In chapter 12, verse 13 and verse 14, let us hear the conclusion of the old matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. Now that's an important thought. Fear God and keep his commandments. The King James Version says, for this is the whole duty of man. That's the purpose that God put us there for. God made man. I was reading this morning in Genesis chapter 1, and the very last verse, after he had made everything, the scripture says that God saw all that he had made was very good. That included man. Boy, we've come a long way from that. We've come a long way, but you know something? God still looks at man and loves him. He looks at man and loves him. And he wants us to do and to be what he put us here for. And you know what that is? The whole purpose of my life, the whole purpose of your life, even though we may have all of the things we've looked at in the last two Sundays, he may have blessed us abundantly, but the purpose of my life and your life, whether we want to accept it or not, is to honor and glorify God. That's why he put us here. We could have been animals. But he made man, the scripture says, in his own image and in his own likeness. And he put us here so that we may honor and glorify him. In the scriptures we read over and over again, to glorify God, to glorify God. The purpose of my life today is to glorify God. The purpose of your life today is to glorify God. That's why we're here. We're so far away from it sometimes. And the reason we get so far away from it is because of these things that we've been reading about that Solomon allowed to come between him and God. And we allow it. And I don't think either one of us this morning should sit on our laurels and say, not me. It can't happen to me. It can. It can. We can get to those points in our lives where we feel, me, myself, and I have accomplished it all. And we can allow it to get between us and our Heavenly Father. And we can lose the joy of the Lord. Drift away from God. Have no desires for the things of God. Our minds are on what is happening around us. And the advancements that we can make. And I experience this my own self. And I know it's out there. Climbing up the ladder of success in life. It's fantastic. But I say today, there is a point where we need to stop and say, is this getting between me and God? Is this becoming the most important part of my life? Or is God still first and foremost in my life? Solomon says, and he didn't stop there. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or evil. That's it. Our ultimate purpose in life is wrapped up in our relationship to the God who made us. Our relationship to Him. And each of us must ask ourselves that question this morning. Where do I stand? What is my relationship with Him? Where am I today on the scale of life? And where is God in my life? It's important. It is so important to you and I today. That relationship. Solomon's words here reminds us that each of us is headed for a day of accountability. And I spoke on this on Tuesday night past. Those of you who might have been here. We're headed for accountability for God. So we need to learn to fear God. Fear God. Not so much in the sense of if we step out of line, He's going to take our lives from us. Perhaps that's happened sometimes. Because, thank God, we're no longer living under the law. We're living under grace. In the days of the law, I tell you, as my wife and I have been studying through the Old Testament recently. Matter of fact, we started going through the Bible. And when you read the law, God laid down those laws there. And when those Israelites stepped out of bounds, they paid a penalty. They paid a price. God hasn't changed. But we no longer live under the law today. We live under grace, and thank God. Thank God that we're under grace, because perhaps none of us would be here this morning if we were still under the law. By the things that we do and the lives that we live. Because God hasn't changed. God is still a holy and a righteous God. And God demands our respect for Him and our love for Him when we make that commitment in our life to serve. And so each of us must come to that point in our life to realize where we are and our relationship with Him and where we stand. Fear God. Obey God. Be obedient to His Word. We're not going to be perfect. If you can find me someone that's living today that's perfect, I'd like to see him. Because we live in an imperfect world. We're still in this framework called body. We still live in a world. We have to be there every day. But he says to all of us that we are to be in the world, but not of the world. And beloved, this morning, I say to you with all my heart, that each of us must make that determination in our lives. Are we going to live for the Lord? How much of our lives are we going to allow to take control and draw us away from the things of God? The things that are so important. The things that one day we're going to leave behind. We're going to stand before Him. We need to think about it very seriously. Again, I just want to reiterate the fact that God wants us to be educated. He wants us to enjoy the pleasures of life. He wants us to enjoy the possessions that He's given to us. He wants us to enjoy our neighbors, our loved ones, make friends with others. But He wants us to keep Him first, far above all. And if we are not willing to do that in our Christian lives, we are in for a rough road. A difficult life. Put Him first. That's the desire of my heart. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't so. And I don't think that you would be here either. Put Him first. And all that we do, and all that we say, keep that light shining for Jesus Christ. We love you today. Again, it's been so good to be able to share with you. I probably don't have that Harvard education and that biblical knowledge, and maybe some of you here today understand the Bible better than I do and can explain it better than I can. But the important thing is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and to show God's love in our hearts and lives wherever we go. And live lives that are pleasing to Him. May God bless our hearts today for His name's sake. Father, thank You today for the time that we've been able to spend here with these dear people and to hear from Your Word. Though limited sometimes, Father, in our knowledge, but we know that Your Word is a lamp, a light, and it is not by might nor by power, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord. May we as Your children realize this, Father, as we seek to live for You each day, as You bless us abundantly in so many areas of our lives, may we, Lord, arrive at that point where we say, is this becoming the part that is destroying my life, that is drawing me away from God and the things of God, and ask You to give us a victory over it, the wisdom to control. Bless each one here this morning, Lord. Encourage our hearts as we seek to live for You and to serve You in this world in which we live. Take us, Lord, through this day. Encourage us, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The Lord bless you today.